Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything from a gambling perspective for UFC 274. And I know I might be biased, but I say the First Strike's the best gambling podcast that you have out there in this space right now, because I have great guests each and every week, like Lou Finocchiaro and Jordan Sherwood and Reed Kuhn. They're going to join us throughout the hour. And again, the man that sets the numbers right behind me at Circa Sportsbook is Nick Kalikas. And Nick, kind enough to join us to start off this great-looking card on paper. My goodness, UFC 274. And again, I always say this show, what we're trying to do is follow those numbers, see where the best value might be in for particular fights, depending on which side you might like in that fight. Now, Nick, let's start off with the main event here. When you have DuBronx, Charles Oliveira, of course, two title bouts here at UFC 274. DuBronx putting that strap on the line, but against Justin Gaethje, it looks like he's already lost said strap, because today on a Friday, Charles Oliveira did not make weight. Now, he missed it by a half a pound, but these are the rules. You're going to lose a bit of your purse here. That's going to go to the challenger, Justin Gaethje, and now it looks like he's not going to be able to win and hold on to that belt. If Gaethje wins, he would become the new champion at 155 pounds. How does this affect the numbers, Nick, when you see them where you started off this week with Justin Gaethje? He's solid, about a plus 145 dog most places. Does the weight cut and missing it switch those numbers in your estimation?
In most cases, it would. But in this particular case, I mean, a lot of us were not expecting this fight to kind of go that long anyway because of the finishing ability. So I don't think it is going to make much of an impact. And then again, the weight differential, meaning that he's going to be much heavier, I don't think that's going to be a big impact either. So believe it or not, even though it is an important aspect of the fight, him missing weight, it's not going to impact the betting lines all that much.
That's very interesting. So, again, you look everywhere else on paper here with the decided reach advantage for Oliveira, everything else looks pretty equal, right?
Right.
Now, you mentioned that we don't think this fight, necessarily the odds makers, are going to go deep into the Arizona night. We've seen the over-under set at about a round and a half, which is odd. Juiced heavily to the over, you can understand that, for a round and a half. But does that then impact how long the fight might go? Because now, we saw it last week with Rob Font, and maybe he lost a little bit of gas later on against Chito Vera in that five-round main event when he didn't make weight, but that was by 2.5 pounds. So now, juice $2 to the over at a round and a half. Do you think you might see more plus money come in on the under?
I do. I was anticipating it anyway, but now that's where it's going to impact anything the most, I think. It would be the total, would be people betting more so fight does not go the distance. And again, taking that stab at the plus money under 1.5. So I do think it will make a slight impact on the under a little bit more so than anything else.
So, again, that's the big news of the day as we begin First Strike today, that Oliveira, the fight will go on, which is great news, obviously, for fight fans. But, again, Oliveira missing weight, albeit slightly. Justin Gaethje, they've been going at it on social media this week. He tweeted out, like, boy, sucks for him. He's eating steak and rehydrating and all those things. So I do wonder how that's going to play into the actual fight. But to your point here, the number really hasn't changed, but the over-under, that's where we're going to see the influence.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, if it was a different scenario, two different fighters that we were maybe expecting this to go five rounds, it'd be a different story. But since it's not, we're expecting a finish along the way, I don't think it is going to make a huge impact either way.
Okay, I'm curious what you've seen with Rose Namajunas and the money this week in her title rematch against Carla Esparza. The interesting part here is, Esparza beat her the first time around in the Ultimate Fighter series back in the day. Esparza was the first ever champion in this 115-pound decision, in this 115-pound weight class. And now Rose, Thug Rose, she's over a $2 favorite here against Esparza. Again, we know what Esparza wants to do, and that is wrestle. And we know Thug Rose does not want to do that. She wants to keep this standing. Five-round potential fight here. How has the money moved, if at all, this week?
When the market was out there, there was about $1.80, $1.90 when we set the line of circuit. We ended up opening at -200. So we went high market on purpose because I figured that Thug Rose would be the popular betting public side, right? On top of probably some sharp action that's going to come in that way too. Mm-hmm. So we anticipated the line to kind of increase a little bit. So we went up a little bit higher. The immediate action that was on the underdog. We took several max bets at that time on the underdog.
Wow.
So we adjusted our price and we went back to market, right? So then we were about an average price. But then we did get that sharp action come back and hit Rose. And now we're top end of the market as well. So there is a lot of sharp action. There's going to be a lot of parlays coming in on Rose as well. Because let's face it, even though Esparza, you're right, she did beat her before. She has history there. She's capable of doing it stylistically as well again. She's not the popular opinion here. She's not the household name. Thug Rose is at this point. And the improvement factor, I think, along the way through these years has to make an impact as well. So Rose seems to be the side and the sharp bettors and a lot of the public coming in that way too.
The numbers that really stuck out to me were you could get Rose at plus over $3 here, plus 330 we're seeing at DraftKings for KO, TKO, or DQ. Because stylistically, you and I do this all the time, and I think everybody here at First Strike does a really good job of trying to figure out the methods to victory, right? So Rose, we know, wants to throw hands. We know Esparza in the past, that's been her kryptonite to some degree here, right? She's going to want to wrestle. So you can understand why you see Esparza there by decision is plus 260 because there's a scenario where she grinds out a five-round win over Rose.
Right.
But also that plus 330 is pretty juicy to me if you're a Rose backer thinking she might be able to get the knockout.
Yeah, and it gets as the fight gets a little bit closer, it does get more enticing to me in that price. So we're probably going to protect that a little bit more than anything else because as this fight goes, I mean, again, we're talking about a five-round fight.
Right.
And the finishability here in comparison to the main event that we were talking about, it's a little bit different. Despite Esparza finishing that first fight, I think it's going to be a little bit different scenario this time around. So if there is a finish, though, I think it might be a late finish for Rose instead of Esparza. So if you're going to target something, maybe the TKO, KO, DQ would be the spot to bet. Or like I said, if not, a lot of people are going to probably be more in love with the decision Esparza. I think you look at the decision by Rose on that side as well. So I think the value on the prop side of things, if you don't want to lay the chalk on Rose, might be looking at the props.
And interesting there that if the fight goes the decision either way,
right,
minus 175, right? And so for Rose to win it by decision, plus 150. So really not a huge, huge variance there if you want to play it the quote-unquote safe way. The over is juiced at minus $1.75 here for 4.5 rounds. Is that where the popular money is coming in, is that they think this fight's going to go to the judges' cards?
Yeah, it hasn't been a ton of action yet. Again, on the totals, a lot of times we get hit more so on fight day than anything else. A lot more of the heavy action tends to come in on that day. But right now, it's kind of been back and forth action a little bit. Nothing significant coming in and making the line move.
So those are the two title bouts, and you can see a different view of opinion there. The main title fight here, obviously we do Bronx against Justin Gaethje. You think that might be a quicker night, and then this one here, most people assume this could go all five rounds. Okay, to the non-title bouts we go. When I see Michael Chandler as over almost a $4 betting favorite against Tony Ferguson, Nick, I go, where is the respect for Tony Ferguson on this fight card here, now plus 280. Are you seeing any people jump in on the dog?
Yes, and we have had some sharp action. The market's going the other way. We ended up getting bet on the Ferguson side for, again, respectable action. So we had to respect it and move the line a little bit towards Ferguson and respect that side more so than the Chandler side at this point. Mm-hmm. But we are, again, going to get buyback on the Chandler side. He's going to be in parlays as well. Just stylistically, what we've seen from Ferguson, I mean, look, first of all, I think people are kind of digging into this fight a little bit too much with the results on Ferguson's side as of late. If you look at who he's fought and who he's lost to, it's all been top of the food chain.
Absolutely.
I mean, the current champion title contenders. So maybe his losses aren't as bad as everybody out there are basically saying they are, right? Chandler's side of things, he's been more exciting for sure. It seems like he's got a little bit more in the tank. He's got the wrestling, too. He should be able to. If he fights smart, let's face it, he could probably go the route of just getting these takedowns and just laying on top and just playing safe and making it kind of a dull, boring fight. Probably went on the scorecards that way because that's how he's been getting beat, Ferguson, as of late. But he's an exciting fighter. Something's got to give here, I think.
And again, the narrative of, well, Ferguson's washed up and he's old. You know, he's 38, but, you know, Chandler's 36. So it's not like this is a 28-year-old kid going in there at the apex of his career. So it just feels like maybe a little bit mispriced there. We'll find out if that plays out tomorrow night. You got Shogun Hua back in the octagon here, again, going up against Ovin St. Preux. St. Preux, a solid favorite in this one as well. And again, we understand kind of a legends fight here when you have Hua out there. Are you seeing any money come in here in the former champion?
Yeah, despite, like, fight we were just talking about, Ferguson was getting the sharp respect with us here. This one has actually conflicting sharp opinions on this side. Because we did get bet on the Rua side, the Shogun Rua side, which is, I think, very tempting. I mean, I understand both these guys, again, they're past their primes a little bit. They're definitely, their best days are behind them on both ends of it, though, not just one end of it, right? Mm-hmm. I think both of them are a little bit shot, to be honest with you. So we did get that sharp action on the dog. And then immediately we had another sharp group come in and take the favorite as well. So we're right back where we were at minus 225-ish.
Yeah, and again, it does feel like, again, when you get guys that are 40, 39 years of age, and we just talked about 38, 36 with Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler, there are a lot of names on this card that you go, man, I remember when, right? I mean, it wasn't, yes, it's been a while since Shogun Rua was the champion, right. But again, Ovin St. Preux is maybe not lived up to the full potential that he's had in the UFC. So very interesting to find him over a $2 betting favorite. Speaking of legends, whenever you have the cowboy back in there, Donald Cerrone, going to take on Joe Lozon here. And Joe Lozon, for his own right, has got a huge fan base and following for very good reason. Exciting fighters here. What do you make of this matchup here? Because some people have asked me, they're like, how in the world can he almost be a $2 favorite at this stage of his career? But it feels like Joe might be the tailor-made opponent for Cowboy.
It's tough because I think market-wide it opened minus 300 or so. So it's been bet down to this point where you're seeing now from the beginning, right? So, and I think it is kind of a dog or pass situation because what we've seen as of late, I get what you're saying. If you look at it a little bit deeper, you're thinking to yourself, how exactly is Lozon going to finish this fight? He's probably going to have to knock him out, mm-hmm. right? And his game is, he's got good striking, but it's more so the takedowns and the right. submission ability, right? Which is hard to submit Cerrone. So I understand that as well. So it seems cater-made to Cerrone, but I don't trust his durability right now at this point of his career. And Lozon is a finisher. So for me, it is still kind of a dog or pass situation. I expect this fight to keep dropping, honestly, as it goes.
So if you want to back the Cowboy, you might want to wait a little bit as we get closer and closer to fight night here tomorrow night. And that money comes in on the underdog here as it's been coming in all week. Very quickly, this card is loaded. Whenever you get a pay-per-view like this, what fight has really stood out to you, Nick, that may be a little bit below the radar?
The Gato fight against Cortez. Cortez, a hometown fighter, mm-hmm. of course, and a very important fight for the female division, no doubt about it. We are getting a ton of public action on the Gato side. A lot of sharp opinion coming in that way and a ton of public opinion. I think they got to be careful, tread carefully, because it is, again, in her backyard, Cortez. If this fight hits the scorecards, I think she probably steals a decision here. Mm. So there has been a lot of dog support from public and sharp action. It seems to be one of the most popular dogs on the card.
Don't get me started on decisions after the Andrei Arlovsky one a week ago. Very quickly, got about 30 seconds to go here. Nick, talk about UFC on the line here, what people get on UFC Fight Pass.
For UFC 274, we have on UFCFightPass.com. Check it out. We do have a show with Yanni the Greek, myself, and Brandon Fitzgerald. We give out our best bets, our prop bets, every information there is to be had on gambling aspect of UFC 274. So make sure you tune in. It's a fun show.
Follow him as I do on Twitter at Fight Odds. Nick Kalikas, always appreciate the time and the information. Great stuff, as always, coming back with Lou Finocchiaro next, right here in First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for MMA events. Eligibility restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Back here in First Strike, I am Dave Ross. Always a pleasure to be joined by Lou Finicaro. Follow him on Twitter at GamWu. And Lou, we've got a lot to talk about in your neck of the woods here for UFC 274. And again, I got to start right at the main event because nobody gleans more information, I believe, here at VSiN and certainly on First Strike than you do after watching the weigh-ins. And we saw DuBronx, Charles Oliveira, miss weight by a half pound, and now he cannot retain his title. Justin Gaethje can win the title if he wins tomorrow night. Does this change your handicap after what you saw from DuBronx not being able to make weight?
Well, first of all, Dave, thank you so much for having me on. And to answer the question, it absolutely changes my whole perspective on the fight. With 15 minutes to go at 10:45 Pacific time, DuBronx had not yet stepped on the scale. It was at that point that I bought out of the position that I took months ago when this fight was announced at Charles Oliveira -150. Now understand, that was originally going to be in Brazil, and I had aspirations of that number going up to +200 or so maybe. Well, it never did. However, with today's occurrence, I have any champion fighting Justin Gaethje in his own backyard this Saturday better be at 110% ability, and missing weight like he did, then taking extra time and still not being able to make it, and then coupling that with the penalty of not being able to retain his belt, to me is overwhelming. And it was an overwhelming move that I had to get off the Oliveira position.
I think that's very sound advice, and certainly out there, before you make those wagers, think about all those implications that have happened because Charles Oliveira could not make weight today. I think you're a very smart man for doing exactly what you did there. Very quickly on the total here at a round and a half, does this change the game plan at all for either fighter? Because Gaethje, it's so hard for him to not be in a firefight, right? But I wonder if Trevor Whitman, his coach, will say, hey, he had the terrible weight cut. He's the guy that if he can extend this fight a little bit, might show the rigors of said weight cut that he didn't make. So now, juice to the over at -$2 at a round and a half. Lou, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I can't. There's under no circumstance is there a way I can imagine Gaethje going out and practicing patience. That's not what he does. That's not what he said he was going to do in the interviews this week. And leading up to the to the weigh-ins today, it's been Gaethje's straightforward opinion that Oliveira has been a quitter in the past, and he was going to bring that out. And maybe to an extent, he already has in this weight situation, because I got to think that Oliveira is going to feel shamed going to this thing. But from the beginning, make no mistake about it, when the bell rings, Gaethje's going to go and walk him down, crowd him down, and try and inflict himself on Oliveira. And if anything, it makes me, it doesn't give me any different feel on the total, except that had I been able to trust Oliveira coming in and being one of the first people to weigh in for this fight, I would have trusted that the longer this fight goes, the more it's Oliveira. I can't trust that any longer.
Hey, it's absolutely fascinating. Boy, the change of events here because of what's happened today here on fight day for making the weight here before we get to fight day tomorrow. Again, Justin Gaethje +210, KO, TKO, or DQ. So we'll see how that plays out and whether or not he can get that quick stoppage here under a round and a half. Let's go to the other big fight on this card. Obviously, when we have two title bouts in Rose Namajunas, she's over a $2 betting favorite against Carla Esparza. This is a rematch for those of us that remember that when they fought in The Ultimate Fighter, this was Esparza who got that win and rather easily that day, and she became the first ever champion here at 115 pounds. What do you make of this rematch?
I make that the fighters are diametrically different fighters now than before, more so Rose than any other fighter in the last 8 years. Yes, Esparza is developed, but only her wrestling, not her well-rounded nature. Rose has gone from a scrawny little beginning fighter to a legitimate elite world champion who's fought the best. That's a big difference. And I think it's the fact that Rose is so multi-talented and multi-versed within the specialty of mixed martial arts that that's where she'll make a difference in this fight. And I do lean to Rose being the legitimate favorite here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Again, over a $2 betting favorite. But again, some juicy action there. Plus 330 we've seen for KO, TK, or DQ, if you believe Rose might be able to get it done before the five-round limit. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Lou, I did want to get to some other fights in this card. Randy Brown against Chaos Williams. Could be a very intriguing bout for sure. Pretty closely priced here. Chaos Williams right now, minus $1.25. Brown plus money on the comeback. What do you make of this matchup? And again, they don't give out a fight of the night odds, but if they were, I might put some money down on that one.
Yeah, we're surely going to see a great battle of styles here. I mean, as well as physiques. I mean, in Chaos, you have a short, powerful, explosive guy that fights with a chip on his shoulders. His punches tend to be more crosses and hooks, not necessarily straight and precise, but explosive and more roundhouse. Meanwhile, Randy Brown will have all the attributes of a strike advantage, even though he's not quite the striker that Williams is, surely not the power. He needs distance. He's longer, taller, but more importantly, he's much more well-rounded fighter. And if he can weather the storm that's going to be the first 5 minutes that Williams exudes here on Randy Brown, if Randy Brown can get this fight to the second round, I think it's then when the fight starts to change into Brown's favor. Brown can get Williams down onto the floor into his world and begin to dominate the fight.
You know, you can get some really good action there. If you think he can survive that first round and win by decision, is plus 240. Do you see this fight going the distance? Because right now that's plus $1.30. Obviously people expecting this one to get stopped sooner.
I do. I believe that's how Brown wins it.
Yeah, so you can get some really good value there. Win by decision, again, is $3. Win by finish is plus 240 for Randy Brown. Look, we got some legends on this fight card, Lou, that I got to get your opinion on. One of them is Joe Lozon taking on the Cowboy, Donald Cerrone. Again, talking to Nick Kalikas, this number's come down significantly as the week has gone with money coming in on Lozon. What do you make of Cowboy here? Almost still a $2 betting favorite, rather.
Yeah, you know, the first important thing was that he stepped on the scale early, and at 155, he hasn't fought there in a while, looked great. That's good. It coincides with him saying that he really has found this second win being at the apex for this training camp, not down in Albuquerque. And I buy that he's desperate and wants a win. I also buy the fact that he opened at 240. Now he's almost a dollar less than that. I don't see that. Joe Lozon, to me, has 5 minutes here, and he has 5 minutes to get in close, get it down, and get on top. And if he doesn't, I think this thing, Joe could slow down, and if you give Cowboy the opportunity to kickbox, he's gonna. And so I lean to Cowboy Cerrone here, although there will be no bet on this fight for me.
What about going the distance there, plus 175? Again, you don't think of these guys and think decision, right? You think somebody is going to get stopped before those 15 minutes are up.
Yeah, I would tend to think Cowboy, I would use Cowboy via, I'd use either one via finish. Maybe Joe, sub, Cowboy, KO, TKO.
There you go. So you can get some better options there depending on who you think might get that stoppage. Again, I mentioned legends. You got Shogun Hua, the former champion, back against Ovince St. Preux. Both guys clearly past their prime at 40 and 39 here. Shogun, though, you can almost get plus $2 on the former champ. Would you nibble there, Lou?
I don't think I could. I mean, if you're asking Lou's heart, absolutely. I'm all in on Hua. But if you're asking Lou's head, Then I got to be all in on OSP. Who is going to be the faster, quicker man in there? OSP just coming down from fighting at heavyweight, but that means he's going to have power and maybe 6 minutes of ability. I think OSP finishes him in this situation, but another fight I won't invest in.
All right, I got about a minute to go here very quickly. Got to get your thoughts on Michael Chandler against Tony Ferguson. Feels like a lack of respect in the betting market for Tony Ferguson. Do you think that that is well-placed money on the Chandler side?
Well, I'm not sure if it's well-placed money or not, but I'm going to put a small amount on Ferguson. I'm also going to put a small amount on the fight to start round three. I believe this fight goes to decision. That's how I believe Tony Ferguson's getting overlooked by the public as well as Michael Chandler. And I think that he's a durable guy and he's coming to give his best effort. I think it goes to decision.
I'm with it. 13-1 if Tony Ferguson can win that by decision. Check out the Bout Business podcast that Lou has up each and every week. Lou, always appreciate the time and the information. Enjoy the fights in your neck of the woods there in Arizona. We'll catch up again next week.
Good luck, everybody. Thanks, Dave.
There he is, Lou Finocchiaro, everybody. When we come back, Jordan Sherwood from Chicago next on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
We continue First Strike with Jordan Sherwood from Chicago. Follow him on Twitter as I do at WoodOn1063. He's got a great unnamed podcast back in Chicago as well. Still waiting for a name, but we'll keep going with the unnamed podcast today. Jordan Sherwood, great to have you back in the program. Let's talk about the big news today here on a Friday, 24 hours in advance of UFC 274, and that is the champ, Charles Du Bronx. Oliveira will not be the champ. They're going to strip him of the title, win, lose, or draw. Justin Gaethje can be champion if he wins tomorrow night. And right now, he's still at plus money. You hate this from a human element to see what's happened to Du Bronx. He missed weight by a half pound. Some people are going to say it's just a half pound. What's the big deal? How does this change your handicap, if at all, when you look at the main event?
It doesn't give me as much confidence in picking Charles Oliveira to win the fight because he didn't look great on the scale. I mean, it doesn't matter how many pounds and now if he's the champion or not the champion. He had 2 hours to weigh in at 155. He couldn't make it. He was a half pound overweight. He was allotted a second hour to, or a third hour, if you will, to get that done. And he didn't lose any weight and he looked drained. And people were commenting on how large he looked, you know, fight week, that he had built up this big mass, you know, compared to the 145 pound fighter that debuted in the UFC. So it's disappointing. It's the first male fighter to be stripped of the title, to lose the title, if you will, on the scale. So while I was going to release Charles Oliveira as a play, no matter where you grabbed him, $170, $75, $55, because I thought he was a bad matchup for Justin Gaethje, I'm not confident in that selection. I'm still confident in a finish happening because both guys clearly are finishers. And now I'm more confident in Justin Gaethje potentially landing something and hurting Charles Oliveira because he was drained so much making this cut to 155.
It's great having you and Lou. We're going to have Reed Kuhn on and Nick Kalikas on earlier because I think your position should change based on information, right? And I think that's smart to do, certainly in the MMA space. Because I actually believe the fight was going to go longer than the round and a half. I know it's juiced now. It was at 160 when I saw it earlier in the week. Now it's over $2. And my opinion is starting to change because of that reason as well. Jordan, do you think if you're an underbacker at plus money here for a round and a half, that because Charles Oliveira with a bad weight cut, maybe he doesn't have the same stamina that he might have. You know, there's always questions about whether or not he's broken in the past and whether or not he's going to break now. Does that lend you to a shorter night in the main event versus longer into that Arizona night?
I think it has to. I mean, I thought there was going to be a short night anyways because of the stylistically, the way that these two guys fought. Look at Charles Oliveira's last two fights. He got dropped both times in the first round. And people on the side of Justin Gaethje were saying, all right, well, Justin Gaethje hits harder than Michael Chandler. He hits harder to Dustin Poirier. That's going to cause some issues because Charles Oliveira essentially needs to get hit to get into that submission game. And plus, he has the submissions. I mean, Oliveira, 32 wins, 29 finishes, the most finishes in UFC history, the most submissions in UFC history, the most post-fight bonuses in UFC history. So both guys are finishers. So if Oliveira did not get that good cut, yeah, I think it's certainly going to be a quick night for someone, and now probably leaning that it's going to be a quick night for Oliveira. And he's going to get a knockout. We're going to see a new champion in Justin Gaethje.
And you can understand why 3-1 that this fight can go the distance. Just don't see that happening all five rounds. It could happen, but it does not seem like the likelier scenario. Certainly, we think it would be a quicker night versus a longer night. All right, let's get to some other fights on this card here that you have some interest in here. How about Brandon Royval against Max Schnell? And Max Schnell right now over a $2 betting underdog. Are you biting on the dog? Do you think the favorite is the favorite for the right reason?
I think he is the favorite for the right reasons. I think stylistically, these guys match up extremely well, both in the stand-up game, then in the submissions. Brandon Royval, I heard this being described about him, I think from Bilal Muhammad. He loves chaos. Like, yeah, he's organized chaos inside the octagon. And while he's 3-2, he has fought a who's who in the flyweight division, and he's a finisher. He's got great submissions, and Matt Schnell, his stand-up has been questioned before. So I like Brandon Royval to win straight up, and I also think we're going to see a finish in this fight. I think, you know, Matt Schnell certainly has finishing capabilities, but I'm on the under at 2.5. I think both these guys are going to be able to hunt for submission. Royval's likely going to get one if he doesn't knock out Matt Schnell within those two rounds that I see happening in the flyweight division.
Yeah, you normally don't see overs at plus money in this weight class. There's a reason why it's juiced to the under at minus 140 right there with you. Royval, he loves chaos, and even for a lighter weight class here, certainly looking for finishes all the time. How about Francisco Trinaldo back in the octagon against Danny Roberts? Roberts, minus 105, small betting favorite, minus 115 rather, for Trinaldo. Pretty even on paper. What do you make of it?
Yeah, what is Francisco Trinaldo drinking? I mean, at 43 years of age, I mean, and he's still, you know, turning it out. And granted, it was at 155 most of his career, now at 170. You know, he 1-1 in that weight class. Look, you know, Danny Roberts might be coming into his own. He's slick boxing. He looked good on the scale. He's one of the first guys to weigh in. But Francisco Trinaldo, like, lulls you into, like, a slow fight. Mm-hmm. And pace certainly, you know, could be down. And then Trinaldo's got, obviously, the advantage on the ground. So I'm still siding with Francisco Trinaldo here. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by anything that Danny Roberts is going to bring at him. Actually, I think it's a similar fight to what we saw from Trinaldo a couple of fights ago. And Jay Herbert, a guy at lightweight that's, you know, a very good boxer, good kickboxer, right, but doesn't have anything on the ground. Similar fight for me. So I understand people wanting to bite on Danny Roberts, you know, his training. I think now at Sanford MMA, great camp. But I'm going to still side with Francisco Trinaldo to get it done. The low output, the power shots, eventually gets his fight to the ground and controls or perhaps gets a submission victory inside the distance.
All right, by submission, by the way, for Trinaldo, plus $8 there. So again, this feels like we got a lot of fighters on this card that have found the fountain of youth somehow, some way. Trinaldo certainly is doing that at 43 years young. Let's talk about one of those older guys and a former champion, and Mauricio Hua, taking on Ovince St. Preux here. Shogun right now is plus $1.95 in this matchup. Do you think this is priced right, or do you think the former champ's got one more great fight in?
I mean, I how can you ever like disrespect and count out Shogun Hua? Yeah, he's certainly, I think, just that inept fighter ability. He's still got powerful Muay Thai. The output is extremely down. He's probably got a round in him to get this fight where he wants it, and that's going to be a win via knockout. But OSP, you know, just like lethargic, you know, sometimes he shows up, but he's been stopped in his last two fights when he was dangling at heavyweight. And look, this is one of those fights where I can't trust either guy. So I don't perhaps have a play in this fight. It's a sit back and enjoy. Maybe you live bet it inside. If it goes into the second round, perhaps you go with OSP. But just OSP doesn't pull the trigger at times too. He just kind of, you know, shadow boxed out there. So not a lot of confidence in either fighter. But, you know, Shogun Hua, I do believe, can have one more swan song left in him, and this could be it.
$5 if you think that Shogun can get it done by decision, 5-1. And sometimes judges have a way of going for some of those older, nostalgic fighters. See Andrei Arlovsky last week.
Yeah, like Andrei Arlovsky, we got screwed last week in that fight. That was a terrible decision. I haven't seen one person judge that fight for Andrei Arlovsky.
It's amazing. But that's what can happen. So remember that, people, here with some of these legends. Speaking of legends, you got the cowboy, Donald Cerrone, back in there against Joe Lauzon, who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer in his own right, too. So you have two legends going to take to the stage in this one here. Do you see this fight being, all right, let's put on a show for the fans, somebody's going to get stopped? Or do you think Lauzon says, you know, I can wrestle Cowboy and maybe make this a boring night, but it doesn't seem like that's the style that we're going to see on Saturday night?
No, I mean, look at the last eight wins for Joe Lauzon. I think six of them have come in the first round. I'm surprised we're seeing Joe Lauzon again. I thought the Jonathan Pierce victory that he had 2.5 years ago in front of his home crowd of Boston, that was the perfect send-off for him, but he wants to fight one more time. I'm picking Joe Lauzon to win the fight because we've seen now Donald Cowboy Cerrone not win a fight in seven fights in a row. He's emotional with his son going to be in attendance, but Alex Morano overwhelmed him in one round. And Alex Morano is no overwhelming striker. As I mentioned, Joe Lauzon, pedal to the metal, looks to get that first round finish. And I think he can overwhelm him. So I'm picking Joe Lauzon, and I'm also going to live bet this because if it gets out of the first round, I think it's Donald Cowboy Cerrone's fight all day. He'll eventually get his motor running and either win the fight on the feet or win the fight on the ground, because I think they match up stylistically pretty even. But Joe Lauzon is my selection. He comes out like a bat out of hell, like he always does, and gets a first-round finish over Cowboy Cerrone.
Well, there it is. That's the way. Like, Cowboy starts off slowly, and that is a detriment with a fighter like Joe Lauzon. But I think that's a great astute analysis there, that if you're live betting this thing and Cowboy can survive, maybe that's the time that you dip the toe back in with Cowboy. All right, look, we got Rose Namajunas taking on Carlos Esparza. This is a rematch. Of course, Esparza won the first time around. Feels like it was a long time ago, the first time they fought. Got about 30 seconds. Do you think the script is different this time for the champion in Rose?
I mean, I think that's the safe play, but I'm going to make a small suggestion on Carla Esparza, because at the end of the day, her wrestling is some of the best we've ever seen, and wrestling, we know, gets the job done in MMA. So small play on Carla Esparza to become the new and once again champion of the world.
The Cookie Monster. Maybe she bites back again. She did beat her the first time around. Hey, Jordan, appreciate the time and the information as always, my friend. I will catch up again next week. This is First Strike right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulge indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Want more betting insights to give you an edge? Well, check out VSiN's Best Bets podcast. You can listen to daily sports betting highlights from the entire 24/7 stream of VSiN experts, tracking line moves, odds, props, wins, losses, bad beats from sportsbooks in Vegas and across the country. So download the VSiN Best Bets podcast now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get said podcast. Back alongside Reed Kuhn, I am Dave Ross. This is First Strike, and Reed, always a pleasure having you join the program each and every week. Now, for those that don't know, you come to us from the great state of Virginia, and you've got your bar there. You get some interesting characters coming in there. We're going to get down on some UFC action.
Hopefully more in the future. You know, this bar was basically just for me. It was constructed during the pandemic. I had this vision of this sports lounge, Fightnomics cave movie theater experience. And so tomorrow, finally, having some people over, going to forego cooking steaks. I'm going to have it catered, but we're definitely getting some use out of it now.
Well, Reed, I follow you. Everybody should follow you on Twitter. Those meals look fantastic, and certainly can never go wrong with a good drink on a fight night. Let's talk about what your numbers are showing you this week, my friend. When you have the Cowboy against Joe Lozon, Donald Cerrone, you've got, my goodness, metrics for days and years, literally, with these two legends squaring off. What are the numbers showing you in this potential three-round matchup?
Yeah, you're right about that. This is kind of like a legends matchup. I think it's a good way to start the card. Both guys have been headliners. They've been around forever. We have over 10 hours of octagon time between the two of them. We have 33 fight night bonuses between the two of them, the first and the fourth most winningest bonus guys ever. Like, this is insane from a just cumulative career statistic standpoint. But in terms of performance, what we're going to see is essentially a striker versus grappler. So it's kind of one more reason why this is kind of a classic matchup. Cerrone, clearly the more superior striker. He has that Muay Thai base. He has 25 career knockdowns just in the UFC, not even including his WEC days. But Lozon, very slick on the ground. That's always been his bread and butter. It's not like he's bad at stand-up. His defense is not great, and he's taken more damage than he's given out in terms of stand-up. Mm-hmm. So that's why I do think this boils down to a striker versus grappler. But Cerrone, don't underestimate his ground game. He has a lot of experience defending submissions, defensive wrestling. So that's what I think forces this fight to stay on the feet. And if that's the case, it's going to be Cerrone winning those exchanges. Now, the question is whether or not it ends inside the distance. And I think a lot of people are going to assume that, wow, you got finishers on both sides of the cage. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'll go like over 1.5. I'm not sure how long Lozon's chin is going to hold up under an onslaught. Maybe he drags this fight on. My lean is towards the over, and my over under leans are not always tied to my sides. I could be right on one and wrong on the other. That happens plenty of times. But I like Cerrone for the win overall, and I like that stronger than the total. but the total is a lean to the over.
There it is, and get plus money right now if you do think it's going to go, because you're right, it's kind of against the public narrative here in this fight. So you can get plus 150 here if the fight just goes over 2.5 rounds. And if it goes all three, get plus 175. So I'm picking up what you're putting out there. Let's talk about some other veterans in here with Blagoy. Ivanov going to take on Marcos Rogério de Lima here. De Lima plus 130 on the comeback here. What do you make of this matchup? And I'm sure you got plenty of data points to support your theory.
Yeah, both these guys are probably willing to stand and trade. I think Ivanov is more likely to want to grind this out on the ground. But De Lima, you know, it's hard to say. I think Ivanov has been willing to strike lately, mm-hmm. even though I think he should go to ground a little more often. He's facing De Lima. De Lima, five knockdowns at a 7% knockdown rate. That is very, very high. This is at heavyweight where you do have some heavy hitters. But like statistically speaking, that is enormously high compared to Ivanov. He only has one career knockdown despite having more minutes of fight time and at a very low rate. So if this is a power versus power, if these two duke it out, it's going to be De Lima with the more dangerous strikes. And he is more aggressive. And defense, like both these guys are willing to eat punches, and that's mm-hmm. dangerous at heavyweight. So I like De Lima here. I think the way he wins is probably with a finish, most likely a TKO. But mostly I'm taking the safe route. I think De Lima, and I think I get plus money on this one.
You do get plus money, Reed. Right now, plus $1.30 on that. So very interesting handicap there. And maybe a good way to make some profit there, plus $1.30 for De Lima. The big news, obviously, today, Reed, and you know, from a fan's perspective, you hate to see somebody lose the title like DuBronx Charles Oliveira in the main event because he didn't make weight; it was only a half pound. But you know, only it doesn't really matter. This is the way the rules go. And then Justin Gaethje here right now is still plus $1.40, $1.45. Does this change the models when you know that the weight cut here is the issue going forward for Charles Oliveira?
So the models don't really take into account a weight cut, but I, as someone trying to interpret the number, can take that into account, so to speak. If anything, I'm just going to wait for the price to drop. I think if anything, those people who were thinking Gaethje has a good chance here, and he does have the right profile to beat Oliveira, mm-hmm. I think now they're going to jump on it and say, whoa, okay, something's off with Oliveira. He's not going to be himself. Gaethje has an even better chance. I can totally see that. I think I'm just going to wait for the price to bottom out. My initial lean was very, very slight. I mean, I think this is as even as the market has it. It was slightly favoring Oliveira, but on paper, you know, who's going to beat Oliveira? It's someone who can keep Oliveira off of him. So yes. Someone with a wrestling base, someone with great cardio, and who can hit hard. Gaethje checks those boxes. He certainly has the profile. And yet Oliveira has been, you know, stopping people who should have beaten him as a career. The guy's win streak is unbelievable. So my lean was Oliveira. It was very slight. I probably wasn't going to play this to begin with. But I will say I will take the under 4.5 or whatever. I'll take whatever inside the distance and use that in a parlay, because one of these guys is going to finish the other. That's a more firm prediction.
And here you see it at 1.5 for a championship fight, 5 rounds potentially. Now it's juiced to the over at minus $2 for a round and a half. But boy, I mean, Reed, it seems to me maybe the weight cut plays into how this fight goes. But right now, do you think that there might be any chance that Gaethje then says, all right, I'll drag this one on a little bit longer than normal? Or is he saying, look, that's just not the way Justin Gaethje is. I'm going to come forward. We're going to fight fire with fire and maybe even have a first round stoppage.
Who knows what's going on in Gaethje's head.
Right.
But what we have seen him do in the cage is that guy is one of the most fun fighters to watch. He's going to bring it all. I don't think he's going to pull back in any way. He does have that Colorado cardio. That's helpful. I don't know if the weight miss is going to mean that Oliveira is going to fade or anything. It just might mean something's off. Maybe he's hiding an injury. Who mm-hmm. knows? That usually is what drops people's prices when they miss weight. But again, I think my night will be made at this point. I'm not going to be banking on the main event to determine whether or not it's a blue label night. I think I'm just going to enjoy this one. I will take the inside the distance, and I might be using that in some parlays.
All right, so again, that's the reason why they call him the highlight. It's not because he's patient. He likes to get in there and mix it up. I wonder what the numbers say here for Rose Namajunas in her rematch against Carla Esparza. Of course, Esparza was the first ever champion of this division at 115 pounds back in the day. She beat Rose in the Ultimate Fighter series, but now this is a different Rose Namajunas, you know, almost a decade later here. What are the numbers showing here? Should she be as rightful a favorite as she is at minus 225?
That price does seem to have crept up just in the last few weeks. When I first looked at it, it seemed like this was kind of a wash and her prices increased. Now, prices are predictive, so that's a useful input to any model. But I think when you look at just the performance metrics, you line them up at, you know, my Uber tail of the tape, which I'll share probably tomorrow before the fight starts. It is a clean sweep, essentially, for Rose Namajunas. And she did that. She accomplished those stats against the best.
Yes.
I mean, she ran through a gauntlet, and just who she has faced over the last few years, it is the best of the best. It's former champs. And Carla Esparza got knocked down a little bit and had to work her way back up. And she had a couple losses along the way. She is a wrestler. You know what you're getting. However, stats love a wrestler. So we are weighting that in there. And when I look at the performance metrics, I'm like, wow, this is obviously Rose Namajunas. She's going to crush her. But when we run the models, which love a wrestler, they're coming out a little bit more 50-50. Now, I think strength of schedule matters. So I am personally favoring Namajunas. If I were to take a purely arithmetic point of view, I might sprinkle on Esparza at this price, given the potential for just a grind out wrestling match. Maybe even a rear naked choke. Maybe she gets lucky there, finds something in a transition. But it's hard to see like Esparza withstanding the strikes for more than a few minutes. Namajunas is just a power striker. She is accurate. She has all the advantages on the feet.
Only have about 30 seconds to go, Reed. Is there any other fights on this very deep card that the numbers really favor one fighter over the next?
Yeah, surprisingly, Brandon Royval over Matt Schnell. The numbers really came in strong on Royval. When I look at it, it was kind of back and forth, but one number that jumps off the page is just Royval's pace. He puts on an aggressive, aggressive pace, and Schnell is maybe more hesitant. And so I think that could be the difference. You have two guys who are really good at submissions. I think it cancels each other out. And if they were to stand and trade, I think Royval is just winning the points. I think maybe that goes the over, and we end up seeing a striking match between two grapplers.
Excellent stuff as always, Reed Kuhn. Appreciate your time and the information. Thanks for watching First Strike right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.